From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 15th day of October 2018. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. We'll hear from Gary Schnittke, agricultural economist and farm management specialist, about the income farmers can expect from a 1,700-acre grain farm in Illinois this season, and what that looks like for next season. And it does include the market facilitation program payment for this year. It makes a big difference. It also makes a big difference that it's not there for next year. And then as we wrap up our time together, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast with Mark Russo. He's at Brisk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois. And along the way, we'll check in on the agricultural cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. All on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Monday afternoon. We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. What a start to the week. Big news out of the soybean pit, at least some pretty good gains there, Kurt.
Yeah, it was a dynamic session. Overnight session was expected to open a little higher on ideas that we had a snow event in the Western Belt, and harvest progress has come to a stop in some areas. There's some guys in Iowa, Minnesota has done very little, if any, at all. This afternoon's harvest progress report is expected to show corn harvest about 40% complete as a nation, bean harvest about 40% complete, but mainly most of the activity is taking place in the Eastern Belt. And so that was kind of the fundamental spin, and the market really didn't bite on that. Then as we moved into the resumption of trade at 8:30, all heck broke loose as we started to see some fairly aggressive buying materialize. You know, the weather, then also, too, a little talk of some export movement to Asia in the weekly export inspections report, which measures how much we shipped. It was up there within expectations, but two vessels actually went to China. And that was a positive mode as the crushers in China are starting to scramble due to the fact that it doesn't pencil to bring meal or beans in from the southern hemisphere. It's a negative situation. So there's some optimism that we could continue to see beans move through the back door or the Asian buyers go ahead and pay the tariff. Also, too, I guess there was some word that we're going to see some negotiations take place between U.S. and China here as we go into mid-November. So that was really encouraging. Also, midday, we saw a record NOPA crush report come out. We crushed close to 61 million bushels of beans last month, and oil stocks were actually just a little lower than expected. So everything kind of gelled together to give us some strength, and then the technical crowd came in as the day went on there, Todd.
Okay, I'm going to ask you for some cash advice, and I know you're going to tell me it depends a lot, but I'm wondering for producers who have beans that are either in the elevator at the moment or will be in the elevator sometime this fall, is this a selling opportunity for those beans so that they don't put them into storage?
I think you need to play a little catch up on some sales. You know, we've had a fairly good run in through here. We're basically about 50 cents off the lows on the futures. We've seen the basis firm up in through here. We might want to take a look at some overflow extras. And if you do sell, replace them the same day, because the phones are starting to ring now that I sold my beans, but I did not get them replaced. And that makes the replacement a little bit of a challenge in through here. Upside potential here is a perfect technical picture. Back there mid-September, the question was a low end? And the answer was yes, technically it is. And technically, we've got the momentum going to the upside. We had a perfect 10-week cycle low last month. We've still got a little bit more room to run on that. If you do some simple retracements or even look at the chart formations, we have some corn head and shoulders bottoms fairly evident. There's a sloppy head and shoulders bottom in the beans. So if this technical picture can continue to move, November beans could take a run towards this 905, 906. That's kind of upside objective on the head and shoulders bottom, plus a 38% retracement back up to the spring high of 1060. And same thing in corn. Corn in through here, if you look at the retracement levels, it projects to maybe up to this 392, 395 area here, if we can keep the technical crowd in the picture. However, we're not halfway through harvest yet, and we could probably see some hedge pressure come in here to take advantage of these higher prices.
Yeah, of course, we'll see the combines begin to roll today, tomorrow, and certainly by the time we get to next week in the western corn belt, because things are going to at least be sunnier this week, and then we get some warmer temperatures, so they should dry out in the western corn belt as well. All kinds of things that we have to watch over the next several days. Anything else that you've been keeping an eye on besides the weather?
Well, we will continue to monitor the outside markets in through here. There's still that hint of inflation around there with the Dow and the NASDAQ and the S&P market sort of on a soft downtrend in through here. Starting to see the equity flow into the commodities, mainly been the metals, gold and silver particularly as a safe haven. Crude oil-wise, we got a lot of news with Saudi Arabia floating out there. Energy levels should hold the $70 barrel area, and that's going to be a critical point as far as crude oil prices go.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Very good. Take care.
You too. That, of course, is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. In today's agricultural news, the new North American Trade Pact, the USMCA, marks a big step in U.S. efforts to realign international standards on ag biotechnology like genetically modified organisms, or GMOs. It's the first time the U.S., Canada, and Mexico have collectively addressed ag biotech. Language in the trade deal, which still faces a long road to congressional approval, would promote transparency and technology sharing between trading nations on innovations like gene editing. A more controversial provision aims to speed up the review process for when shipments are found to include trace amounts of a genetically engineered crop that hasn't been approved in the destination country. Now, U.S. seed and pesticide makers, who argue other countries have unpredictable regulatory approaches, hope the USMCA chapter will set the standard for future trade deals and send a message to major partners like China and the European Union. But food safety and environmental groups warn the language would hamper countries' ability to regulate GMOs. On that same subject matter, the USMCA ag groups are largely supportive of the new trade package. However, many of those same groups say their biggest concern right now is ending retaliatory tariffs on U.S. agricultural products. Those duties were put in place after President Trump imposed tariffs on steel and aluminum imports. Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue told Reuters last week that with a trade deal in hand, the tariff's usefulness when it comes to Mexico and Canada have diminished. I think it's time we go back to our previous relationship, which had no tariffs on steel and aluminum, Perdue said. If that happens, it could mean USDA will scale back on the second installment of its trade aid program. Perdue tells Reuters, if the tariffs do come off and the tariff impact lessens, it will have some impact over the mitigation efforts because those efforts are based on the facts that they would be tariff damage related. USDA has already made $6.3 billion available for direct payments to farmers, commodity purchases, and marketing assistance. The department was scheduled to decide on a possible second round of trade reimbursements by early December. The agency had initially budgeted up to $12 billion for the aid program. Well, let's stay with trade for the moment. There's a possible silver lining in the U.S.-China trade war. The two nations' leaders will meet next month at the G20 summit in Buenos Aires, Argentina, to try to resolve their tariff fight that has taken a big toll on U.S. producers. Sources tell the Washington Post President Trump and China's Xi Jinping agreed to meet on their trade fight in the first direct talks since August. The source says Beijing sought the talks to forestall further U.S. tariffs that already cover the value of half the goods China ships to the United States. Chinese tariffs have hit U.S. farm goods hard, including including soybeans and pork, and President Trump has threatened 25% tariffs on all remaining Chinese shipments to the U.S. Here's U.S. Vice President Mike Pence in a recent Hudson Institute speech.
These actions, exercises in American strength, have had a major impact. China's largest stock exchange fell by 25% in the first 9 months of this year, in large part because our administration has been standing strong against Beijing's trade practices.
Farmers will be watching closely next month to see if President Trump's pressure tactics have paid off. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Gary Schnitke, agricultural economist, now joins us to discuss an article that he and a couple of others, including Jonathan Kappas and Krista Swanson, have authored for the Farm Doc Daily website and the Gardner Policy Series. This one's called Reviewing Prices and the Market Facilitation Payments. You've got some interesting charts here, Gary. You take a look at what it might mean for a producer who had pulled the trigger on making sales earlier in the year rather than late, and then how the market facilitations payments work into this.
Yeah. Obviously, we saw a dramatic decline in prices about beginning in mid-May. And just to give you a feel for that, Central Illinois prices averaged $9.77 for cash forward bids the first half of the year. We're now looking at something in the high sevens for cash prices, and we expect sort of a market average price of $8.50 for the year. So our average price is a dollar lower than what we were in the spring, and we're currently sitting at a dollar below that for cash bids. So how, and much of that is related to trade and trade concerns with China. And so how farmers feel the impacts of the trade deficit is going to depend a lot on when they began marketing their grain.
So you took a farm, give us the size.
1,700 acres, 50% corn, 50% soybeans, Central Illinois farm.
And you projected that this farm made how much in sales up front, and then in a different version.
All right. So, yeah. So what we did was we said, what if they made all their sales up front? They would have had $174,000 of net income. If they made all their sales now, September, they would have minus $69,000 of income. And with our average prices, we're looking at something like $80,000. So if we had some pre-harvest hedging in there, and get some price decline, we'll probably have close to average income this year. But those people that hedged more this spring will have higher incomes. Those that didn't do any hedging could be looking at negative incomes for the year.
And the market facilitations program will help out for this year as well.
Absolutely. This year, we're on this 1,700-acre farm, that's going to be about a $50,000 payment. That obviously helps. And if we use our average prices, that moves our income from $80,000 to $130,000.
The problem is, looking forward into 2019, you've discussed this a couple of times, but you put real numbers to it, and it's just bleak.
Yeah, so looking into 2019, we put our soybean price at $8.50. We put our costs going up, and pretty much fertilizer costs going up. And we put our yields at trend yields and no market facilitation program payments. And we're looking at minus $70,000 of income next year. So that's pretty bleak. And even if we had another year of above average incomes, that minus $70,000 goes to minus $40,000. So next year we're looking at losses given where we're at price wise and what we're seeing at cost. So the big message there is save that income that we're looking at this year.
And for those who are wondering, you're using a $3.65 average cash price for the corn.
Yep. $3.65 for corn, $8.50 for soybeans, roughly what the market's giving us right now. And it seems like a reasonable expectation given where we're at and what's happening in South America.
Did I see on another post that you've written again about what producers should consider as they think about renting farmland in November?
Yeah, so we're looking at pretty good incomes this year, or average incomes. So that's a good thing. But if you're looking at 2019, you know, we need to do something to cash rents. So flexibility is a key. I would suggest lowering cash rents if at all possible. And, you know, there's always this possibility that things change, right? That something miraculous happens and we get back to 950 soybean prices, or we have another market facilitation program payment next year. So building in a variable cash rent might be a good thing for next year.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
That is Gary Schnittke, agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. On Extension's Todd Gleason. Well, let's turn our attention to the cash grain market. We're now joined by Greg Johnson. He's with the Andersons. Good afternoon to you, Greg. Thanks for being with us.
Good afternoon, Todd.
So I think the thing that we probably want to know today is if a basis for both corn and or soybeans is likely to close up, despite the fact that we're not 50% done yet, at least we don't think we are, given what's happening in the Western Corn Belt at this point.
Well, I think you could see either one of two things. You could see basis levels improve for the crops that are still high quality, or you could see the basis levels drop for the crops that are not of high quality, or you could see elevators raising their damage discounts. You know, maybe the basis improves a little bit, and then you see damage discounts. I just hope that elevators are able to take the grain, the damaged grain. It's hard to blend off damaged soybeans, for example. So, you know, the risk is that elevators just won't accept them. You know, if you've got too much damage in your soybeans, it'll just be really tough to get rid of those. And that's when the farmers have to consult their crop insurance policies and see how they're covered. We're hoping that here in Illinois we don't have to worry about that, but I'm certainly out west in the states west of the Mississippi, it sounds like they certainly will have that issue to deal with here over the next couple of weeks.
And what are your bids for the day?
Okay, cash corn tonight is 344, January is 368, cash beans are 831, January 864, and cash wheat is 510.
Thanks so much, Greg.
Thank you, Todd.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Monday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. We're now joined by Mark Russo. He's at Risk Pulse in Chicago. Hey, good afternoon to you, Mark. Thanks for being with us. It's cold where I am. Pretty cool, actually, today, but at least the sun's out. Is that something we can see the rest of the week, too?
Yeah, Todd, certainly it's nice to see the sun in this true fall pattern that's now evolved here across the Midwest, and looks like that's going to stay in place as we go through the remainder of October. Temperature-wise, it will still be biased on the cooler side of normal throughout this week, but we'll still be days with some sun, but I'll be kind of, you know, off on here as we go through the week due to the overall, some of the frontal passages that will produce a little bit of cloud cover here. But even with those frontal passages, we're not expecting much rain on the way. In fact, the pattern, not only this week, but in the next week as well, it's a much drier pattern, much different than what was the case the past couple of weeks. But also what's different are these, you know, cooler normal temperatures, which is much different than the warm bias that we saw throughout the first half of this month.
Yeah, so for those producers that are in the south and the east of the Mississippi River, mostly, except for northern Illinois, Wisconsin, Michigan, so I suppose that's a large number, but they're probably good to go, maybe not saturated soils and can manage it, but the cold weather would seem to me might be pretty tough as those farmers in Iowa, parts of the Dakotas, Minnesota are dealing both with maybe some snowfall, and certainly with just trying to dry things out with cold weather doesn't help very well as either. Any better temperatures the following week?
We do see better temperatures, especially in some of the northern locations like Minnesota, northern Iowa, and the Dakotas. In fact, temperatures look to return to more normal levels across those areas next week, and that will be high temperatures climbing into the upper 50s, even some lower 60s, minimum temperatures still falling into the 30s, but certainly more seasonal versus what we're seeing right now.
Unlike last fall, when the South Americans were having a tough time getting started because they lacked rainfall, looks like they're off to a good start this year. Things still good shape there?
It is. Currently in Brazil as well as in Argentina, there are a couple scattered dry pockets within Argentina as well as northeastern Brazil, but those dry pockets will have really good opportunities to be eliminated coming up over the next several weeks, and that will keep the start of this growing season in South America in good shape through month's end and into the start of November.
In Europe, of course, they're in the middle of their fall. They had a really dry summer season. We don't often talk about drought continuing and the problems that it can create, but boy, this one seems like it's just hanging on.
Yeah, this dates back all the way from springtime where the drought conditions began to evolve, and we don't see much in the way of any significant improvement in that throughout the balance of October. So for winter crop seeding as well as establishment, that will continue to cause issues as we go through the remainder of this month.
Hey, thanks so much.
My pleasure, Todd.
That's Mark Russo. He is with Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois. Today is the first day of ticket sales for our Farm Assets Conference. It's just $40. Comes up on the 20th day of November in Bloomington Normal, Illinois. We'll have six commodity analysts with us that day and another five to seven folks to talk about the future of agriculture and how to negotiate your way through the series of changes that are taking place. FarmAssetsConference.com, WillAg.org for tickets today.